Welcome to The Divine Breadcrumb with your hosts, Carol Campos and Deb Sorensen. Carol and Deb have always believed the universe helps people on their path by sending signs, clues, or what they call divine breadcrumbs. A divine breadcrumb can create both small and massive shifts in a person's life. On this podcast, Carol and Deb will speak with authors, healers, entrepreneurs, and other amazing people across the globe to discuss these pivotal moments. So get ready to learn, to love, and to laugh. And remember, the universe always provides if you allow it to. Enjoy the show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I'm Carol.
Deb, welcome back to The Divine Breadcrumb.
Today's guest is Georgina Plaisted, author of the book Animal Wisdom, which is filled with Georgina's beautiful artwork and provides all kinds of facts, symbolism, dream interpretations, and affirmations from some of her favorite animals. Georgina grew up in Australia in Ballarat, Victoria, and describes her hometown as heaven on earth. It was here that her love of animals and nature started. After the death of her mother in 2017, her passion for the natural world kicked into high gear and ignited the spark to create art. And we're so glad she's sharing her gift with the world. Georgina is also passionate about health and the role that food plays in your health. Georgina describes herself jokingly as a crazy cat lady, but truly feels a deep connection with them, which Deb and I can relate to. She is also a student of universal law, currently studying the teachings of Abraham Hicks, another topic Deb and I love to talk about. So let's get to it. Georgina, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's wonderful to be here.
We're just so excited. First of all, Deb and I are both huge animal lovers. And because we all kind of share the same interest, just for the listeners, Georgina and I have talked for months on LinkedIn. This is our first time kind of talking live. And I've seen all of the animal drawings and, oh my gosh, they're just beautiful. But what I also, but what I also love is that, you know, you bring in that wisdom aspect. And I don't think everybody is familiar with that animals have their own wisdom to share with us.
Yes.
All right. So before we kind of dive into the book, the town you grew up in sounds magical. Tell us a little bit about it and what it was like growing up there.
Well, I was born and bred here, and the hospital that I was born in is the same hospital that my mother passed away in, St. John of God Hospital in Ballarat. And it's about 80,000 people that live here. It is growing because it's about an hour and a half drive from Melbourne, which is the capital of Victoria. And the reason I describe it as heaven on earth is because, firstly, because it's where I grew up, and secondly, it's where I came back to heal after, you know, my broken marriage. And I came back and I'd been away for about 10 years. I flew with Ansett Australia and flew all over Australia. And then when my marriage broke up, I moved back to Ballarat, not intending to stay. But when I got back here and I had my young daughter, Isabel was only 1 year old at the time, I rediscovered my love for the town and realised that it's such a beautiful place to raise children. Everything's close. It's got a really good, closed, tight-knit community. And because I grew up there, I had a lot of very strong connections in Ballarat. So I really sort of decided to stay. And then I sort of reignited my passion for the town. And now I don't know if I could live anywhere else, actually. And my dad still lives in Ballarat, and so does my brother and sister. So we have a really, really tight-knit, close family in Ballarat. And so all our kids are here. They all go to school. It's got a beautiful big lake in the middle of town, which is sort of the central part of Ballarat, which is where I walk probably three or four times a week and have coffee. It's sort of it's such a beautiful, natural place in Ballarat where everyone goes to exercise, to, you know, join communities, have coffee, look at the wildlife. That's where I first started writing. The beautiful swans, they're our sort of iconic local wildlife, is the black swans, and I just love them. And they have the most beautiful little fluffy cygnets that sort of come into season every year. And they're just absolutely beautiful. And I don't know which bio I sent you, whether I said much about that in the bio, but my girlfriend and I are both in love with the swans, and we were walking around the lake on one of our many walks, and we both decided that we knew nothing about the swans. So me being a Google person, I love it. I'm an information junkie. I decided to look up and sort of educate myself on the swans so that, you know, if anybody came to town, I could sort of pretend I knew more than I really did. But and I did a post on LinkedIn about it, and I sort of was really blown away by the response because everybody loves animals.
Yes.
And so that ignited my sort of passion to sort of then do further investigation on the animals and the wisdom. And basically all the information in there is all information that I've researched myself and collated and just fallen in love with the whole process.
Yeah. Well, you've answered one of my questions, was why was the black swan depicted on the cover? So that answers that. You have that connection. So as a child, were animals very important to you? Were you in nature all the time as a child?
At our home in Ballarat, we always had stray cats. We never had dogs. Mum and Dad were more cat people, and we always seemed to have one stray turn up when another one disappeared or sadly left us. So, yes, we had lots of cats, but they were the only animals. And I think I got to bring home some animals from primary school every now and then. Like, I had a budgie for the weekend, and unfortunately one of the cats got it. So
oh, no.
And then we had a guinea pig that came home, and I think the guinea pig got sick while it was at our place. So I don't know. I might have had a bit of a cursed touch when it came to the sort of the visiting animals, but I've always had a very strong connection to cats. And I have three cats of my own now. Mm-hmm. I just love them. And my mum's parents lived on a sheep and wheat farm, and they had turkeys and sheep. And we used to go out and just, you know, lift up a bit of wrought iron. And in the summer of Australia, it'd just be mice everywhere. So there was always lots of mice around. And so, yes, to answer your question, I did grow up with lots of animals, and I've always loved animals, absolutely. But I think it's as I've gotten older, it's definitely amplified.
Yeah. I mean, what would we do without them in our lives? Yeah. They just add so much.
Yeah. Oh, look, I just love them. I adore them. I've met people that don't really like animals, and I sort of think, oh, what's wrong with them?
Yes.
Really? Like,
yeah. It's nice to meet you. I'm going now.
Yeah, I know. That's fine. If I met a man and he didn't like animals, that'd be just a.
Oh yeah. If you don't, I agree. If you don't check that box, I'm sorry.
Yeah. You're out of here, buddy.
Yeah.
So I've had a strong connection with them, and especially butterflies. That was my nickname as a child. It was butterfly.
Well, that actually leads right into my next question. So you chose 24 of your favorite animals to profile in the book. What are some of the lessons that animals teach us, and why are cats and butterflies so special to you?
Well, the interesting part is that as I did all my research, a funny story without digressing too much from your question is that my dad is the pun king of our family. And I think if you read through some of that, I tried to bring some humour into the wisdom from the animals. And my dad was always, you know, making jokes and puns. Like, he talks in puns, literally. It's sort of in my DNA. So that's why I sort of included that sort of funny words of wisdom from the animals and tried to play around with the words and make it funny. And I think it's our age group especially that appreciate that, because the younger ones don't really get it. But
our age group
really get it, because we grew up with that with our parents. And I tend to speak in puns all the time myself too. Yeah. I can't help myself. So in regard to the butterflies, I think it's I used to flit around the neighbourhood when I was 5 years old, and my sister had a butterfly club out the backyard, and, you know, I was an honorary member, of course, being the younger sister, and I had a yellow jumper with a butterfly on it, and I used to sort of dance around from back in the safe days where you could sort of just dance around the neighbourhood and your mum wouldn't even see you for sort of 8 hours and off you'd go.
Yeah.
And she knew that you'd be safe because it was a very, very small, tight-knit community in our street, and the neighbours used to nickname me Butterfly because I just sort of flitter in and flitter out, and so that's how I got my. So I suppose I've had a strong connection, and also because they have such an amazing life cycle.
Yeah.
And I also have a little butterfly tattoo on my back. And I think when I went through a fairly deep transitioning stage in my own personal evolution, I had the butterfly tattooed on as just a symbolism of what I was going through myself after my marriage broke down. And I think that's when I sort of really came out of my cocoon myself. Yeah. And look, I'm just naturally attracted to all things with wings, and you know, butterflies just sort of fall into. I love birds as well, and cats especially. I think I actually think I'm part cat. I always land on my feet, and I do have that sort of similar nature that I only really show affection when I feel like it. I'm not a touchy feely person, and cats tend to be a bit like that too. Do you agree? They sort of just come and sit on you when they want, and then they sort of snub you the rest of the time.
Well, it's not funny. It's funny because I have two little rescue cats. They're little brothers from the same litter. They're 3 years old now, but they are so needy and always want to be on me. In fact, as we're trying to record, one's trying to sit on my lap now. But they totally crack me up. They make me laugh every day.
Absolutely. Yeah. And look, I used to have a brother and sister that I adopted that were, I'd never had two cats. You would know this yourself, is that when you have a brother and sister or kittens that come in together, the playing that they do with each other.
Oh, it's so cute. Oh, my gosh.
Just amazing. I'd never sort of seen it before because we'd only ever had solo cats.
Yeah.
And then and I had a friend that live in Ballarat, and she's 80 years old, and she feeds all the wild cats around her house. She's got about 100 of them.
Wow.
And I know they're not her cats, but they all know that she feeds the most amazing food. That, I mean, she's on her own, has no kids, and that's her thing. That gives her purpose, and she's very involved with the local small animal rescue and all that sort of stuff. So she used to pay me really good money to go and feed those cats, and it would take me 4 hours in the morning and 4 hours in the afternoon every day.
Wow.
To come out, and I know it's sort of a bit out of control, but that's her thing, and she paid me really good money. But anyway, I came across two little kittens that had been abandoned by their mum while I was in that process, and so, yes, I quickly whipped them home with no intention of keeping them, of course, but, you know, the rest is history.
Yes.
I ended up with lots of cats. Yeah, and they've all got very different personalities. Some are more needy than others. Some are more skittish.
Yeah.
One's more like a dog.
Yes.
Absolutely. We call him the dog cat.
They're just so funny. And you're right. Every personality is so different. I grew up, my dad had dogs and cats. And back then, you know, most of the cats were let out every day. So they were outside cats. So it wasn't the same relationship. My cats are actually indoor cats. And they're definitely more affectionate.
Yes. Yes, I think so too. And they don't get as much exercise when they're inside all day, so they tend to sort of, I find they get a bit grumpy.
Yeah.
Don't they? You do need to get them outside and let them just exercise some of that sort of energy out.
Right.
And then they tend to be a lot happier when they come back in again. But I'm really good. I always lock mine up in the garage at night time because we're not actually allowed to let them out here at night. I don't know what it's like over there.
Yeah, we have the same, like, because there's woods back in my house and there's all kinds of things that could hurt them. So,
right, yeah.
Yes, and also because they tend to cause a little bit of carnage themselves.
Well, yeah, and I agree. I love birds too, and I wouldn't want to see them killing the birds either. So,
But getting back to your question in regard to the wisdom from the animals, I think the thing for me is that animals do everything instinctually, and I find that such an attractive quality because we're humans, of course, we think about everything, and everything is done on different terms because it's all done for different reasons, whereas animals do everything out of survival or reproduction, and it's, you know, it's instinctual, and they can be naturally kind and they can be naturally cruel as well, but the lessons that they can teach from their behaviours I find absolutely fascinating. So that's sort of where the wisdom came from for me, and every single animal has its own behavioural traits.
Right.
Of course. So, it's just been it's been such an interesting process, and it was never intended on writing a book. It all started from me doing that swan post, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just evolved naturally, and everyone sort of really resonated with it and sort of said, yeah, you should write a book. And I was sort of thinking, wow, maybe I should. I'd never even contemplated writing a book before, and I'd never written, I've never painted before either. So
that's incredible. You had
starting from scratch.
Oh my gosh, I would never have guessed that you've never painted.
Oh, well, I sort of look at it and go, gosh, I really got in touch with my inner 7-year-old when I was painting.
Oh, I love them. I think they're so cheery and colorful and whimsical. I love them.
Oh, thank you. One of my friends on LinkedIn actually described it as a storybook for adults.
And yeah.
I thought, oh, that was really lovely. I really loved that.
Yeah, no, I would totally agree with that.
And the thing is, I mean, where that came from is that I actually originally, when I first contemplated writing the book, I actually wanted all the local artists here in Ballarat to do one animal each. Oh. And then I soon discovered that working with artists, we can be a fickle lot. And they all like to have ownership over their own art, and it was going to be quite expensive. It was going to cost me about $450 a pop per animal.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, which is apparently the going rate. And I sort of thought, well, that's totally fair enough. But, of course, I just didn't have that sort of money. So
sure.
That's when I sort of went, well, go myself.
and it's so great that you did. So one of the things I thought was interesting with the book is you've woven quotes by Rumi, the Sufi mystic and poet, into your book. So what about Rumi's work resonated with you?
I've always loved Rumi. I got given a Rumi book about 10 years ago, and the thing I love about his poetry is a lot of it is just really small little quotes. But he packs so much impact into each one of those quotes that you could sort of feel your heart palpitating when you read them. It sort of really had such a strong effect on me. And as I wrote at the back of the book, it sort of really drops into my heart, his words. And there's also another poet, Khalil Gibran. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Yes, of course.
He wrote The Prophet.
Yep.
Yes. Both of them, for some reason, it just really, really sort of sits well with me and resonates with me. And Rumi's thing was, if you read anything about him, he talks about how his one true mission in life was to reconnect back to source. And so I really resonate with that, because that's part of my universal self-education. Is about really understanding myself at a very deep level. And so this book has been part of that process. And they say that when you write a book, it's like finding your other half. And that's what it feels like to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. I love Rumi quotes. One of my favorite, I think it's something like, the wound is the place where the light enters you.
Yes.
I love that quote. Yes.
I love that.
Yes. There's a beautiful yoga woman statue on the shore in Brooklyn. I don't know if you've ever seen it before. And she's sitting there in a meditation pose, and it's a naked woman, sort of absolutely divine. And she's got cracks all running through her. That's the actual sculpture.
Yeah.
And so I attached my Rumi quote, exactly what you just said, to that.
It was probably,
and then what I did is I actually animated the photo. So I don't know if you've seen any of my stuff on LinkedIn, that I animate all the still photos to make them sort of come to life. And so when I did that, when I had lightning bolts coming from the sky, and it was very powerful. It's probably one of my favourite posts that I've ever done. And it is. It's where the cracks or the wounds are where the light gets in, and it was just beautiful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, it's like you said, it packs a punch, just a few words, but it definitely has an effect.
Yes, yeah. And I think really, as I said in the book, is that when Mum passed away, it was such an amazing thing. I mean, you've probably both been through some process of losing somebody. I mean, I hope you haven't, but most people you talk to around our age group have, unfortunately. Yeah. When I pulled up to the hospital on the day that we knew that she was going to pass away, but I was running late, and it was sort of 6 o'clock in the morning. I was meant to be working because we weren't sure how far away she was, and I had to go to like an hour's drive away, and I wasn't sure whether I should go. And in the end, my sister rang and said, no, you need to come straight away. And so I drove to the hospital, and then as I was driving along, there was this, you know, it was a stormy sort of morning in the middle of winter, and there was a rainbow behind me, and I saw it in the rear vision mirror. And I thought, wow. And, of course, I didn't stop and do anything about it. But when I got to the hospital, the same rainbow was just shooting straight out the top of the hospital. Wow, so I've got this amazing photo. I didn't send you the whole book, but at the front of the book there's a photo of that, and it's got, and you can see all the light shards going up.
And
she passed away within 5 minutes of me going in, so she waited for me, and I was the only one. No one else even saw the rainbow, not any of the staff, none of the family. I was the only one. So I sort of went, yeah, it was just me. So I have a very strong connection to rainbows, of course, too now.
Because of that.
Yeah, it's interesting because when my dad passed in 2015, he passed in the winter and he hated winter. So we waited to do kind of a little memorial type ceremony in June because he loved the summertime. Yeah. You know, like anything, anytime you do something like this, there's a lot of laughing, there's crying. It's always just a very emotional day. And then that night, we went to dinner, and when we came out, it was actually on Father's Day. So we were in a restaurant. It was very crowded and it had rained a little bit outside. But when we came outside, there was this beautiful rainbow and it just kind of sealed off the whole experience. It was really nice. Yeah.
And that's very common. A lot of people say they see rainbows.
Yes.
Connected to losing a loved one.
Yes.
And another thing that was really interesting that happened the day my mum passed away is that I was a contestant on our Australian version of The Deal or No Deal. Have you got that over in America?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, so I ended up going on that probably about 3 years prior, and I went down with a plan and I ended up getting in as a contestant, and I dressed up as a French legionnaire because mum was born on Bastille Day, which is July 14th. Uh-huh. So I said to my sister, we need to have a plan. We'll get down there, we'll dress up. We had our berets and cravats on and all looked very Frenchy. And my sister owned a cafe called The French Kitchen. So I said, you know, if we just weave this into a story, they can't resist us. And of course, I got chosen the first off the bat. So it was really great. So anyway, to cut a long story short, the whole show was about mum. We wanted to take mum to Paris for her birthday, for her 80th. And see the fireworks over the Eiffel Tower because she was born the same day. Anyway, that didn't happen because she was very unwell at the time. But, you know, it made a great story to get on the show. And I picked number 14, which was mum's birthday, which is Bastille Day, 14th of July. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the day mum passed away, the Deal or No Deal shows in Australia had finished probably 3 or 4 years prior, but they were showing reruns. And there was over 12,000 episodes, and the day mum passed away, that's the one they did.
Oh my gosh.
They showed out, and it was my sister and I talking about mum on that episode, and it showed the day she passed away. We were all sitting there having lunch at my sister's house, and it came on the television, and we just couldn't believe it. We're like, that's no amazing. Way.
Yeah, but isn't that exactly what happens? Those signs you get, as you know, what we call divine breadcrumbs. I mean, what a big one right there. Just, you know, big hello.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. I couldn't believe it. So, yeah, it was a very powerful day. So getting back to what I was talking about, sorry, I do tend to go off.
Oh, no, you're good.
Well, I was just about to jump in. You've mentioned that you are interested in universal law and the teachings of Abraham Hicks. How did you get started with that?
My brother, Ash Plaisted, had been listening to Abraham Hicks, and he was the one who got me onto LinkedIn in the first place. So he's been a big driving force behind a lot of the stuff that's happened in the last 12 months. Carol, Deb, are you on LinkedIn?
Yes, but not very active.
Right. Whereas Carol, you might know my brother, Ash Plaisted.
Yeah, we're connected. Yeah. Yes.
Anyway, awesome. He got me on LinkedIn, and he said to me, oh, you need to get on to YouTube and listen to Abraham Hicks. So I went, oh, okay. He's one of the very few people I actually listen to. Okay, he's telling me I need to. And I've been sort of interested in this stuff for years. But when I started listening to her, I was just, you know, as you would know, because you probably listened to it as well, blown away. It took me a little while to work out what was going on because of the talking about Esther and Jerry. Yeah. And then over time I went, okay, now I get it. And of course, it's related to The Secret, you know, all those years ago. But it sort of has been quite life-changing for me. It's cemented everything I've felt deep inside. And she has just got such a wonderful way of describing everything that I listen to her, one of her little workshops nearly every day and get so much out of it. And so, of course, it usually prompts me to do a post on LinkedIn because it just triggers something and I go, right, I've got to write about that. And, of course, my brother and I are actually developing an online coaching business at the moment, and part of that will be that I will start educating other people. So I'm sort of educating myself at the moment, and so it'll be part of our coaching program.
Yeah.
Which will be really good, yeah. So, yeah, that's really exciting. That's the next step for us now. So, yeah.
I think that's wonderful. I mean, I think for me as well, similar journey. I forget when I discovered Abraham Hicks. It's probably, I don't know, 8 years ago maybe. But I remember when I first started listening, it just, because I actually used to listen to this Hay House Radio, and there were two other shows that I listened to, and they'd have the Abraham Hicks recordings in between. And in the beginning, I would just not even pay attention. It's like, oh, whatever, that is on. And then one day, it was like literally one day the radio station changed and suddenly the frequency came in, and suddenly it all made sense. It was really weird, but like you, then I couldn't get enough. So every day I'm listening to things, you know, buying the books. I was listening to it on the way to work. Yeah, it totally has affected my life. And like you, now it's all incorporated into my coaching, because this is what I think is important. And I just love when people start this journey themselves, kind of that light they get in their eyes where they're in the same boat we were in, where it's like, I can't get enough. I want more of this.
Absolutely. And it's really interesting. I'm having a very interesting week, because the coaching program that Ashley and I are developing, we're actually putting ourselves through it at the moment so that we can sort of really come from a place of authenticity.
Great.
And,
yeah.
And so part of the program for us is that we're eating for our blood group. I don't know if you've heard much about eating right for your type, which is when you eat food which is specifically designed for your blood group.
Yeah, I was actually just about to ask you about that.
Okay, because it's on my profile. So I get a few people sending me messages going, what's that about? Well, I've been eating like that for about 15 years, but we're incorporating that into our program, and also the 5-2 fasting diet. So I'm actually have been on a very hardcore journey this week that I've eaten nothing but my food groups, and then I'm fasting 2 days a week as well. So I know that you would be able to relate to this because of your Abraham Hicks, is that I feel like my antenna are being fine-tuned at the moment.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting process. It's like I'm fine-tuning. It's like going into a piano, you know, and starting to tinker with the keys and going, do, 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 do. No, that's out of tune. And then you go in and tweak it. Do, 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 do. Then still slightly out of tune, you know, and going in and tweaking it. That's what I feel like I'm doing to my internal universe at the moment. So I'm doing that, it's just opening up this whole portal of new awareness for me. It's hard to explain, actually.
No, I get it. That's very exciting.
It is. Yeah, I'm loving it. Really, I love feeling lean, mean fighting machines.
Yeah. So just to back up, I mean, we're talking about the food, and I know you had said that food is the first line of defense against illness, and that your personal mantra is health is your wealth. So would you talk a little bit more about that and why eating for your blood type is so important?
Well, about 15 years ago, I worked in an organic shop, and I was there for about 12 years all up, and I actually felt like I did sort of an apprenticeship in food whilst I was there, you know, learning so much about food and how to cook well, and the people that I owned the store were just amazing. And then one day I had these two sort of, I think, Greek ladies come in. No, actually, sorry, they might have been Italian anyway. One was 90 and her daughter, and they came in and they asked for a particular loaf of bread, and me being me, asking lots of questions all the time, I like to just sort of keep asking until I get the answer that I'm looking for. And they said, oh, no, we need this sort of bread. And I said, oh, well, we've got this instead, and maybe try this and blah, blah, blah. And they said, no, we have to have that one because that's for our blood type. And I looked at them and I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, we eat for our blood type. We're O, blah, blah, blah. And they told me a little bit. It was like someone had hit me over the head with a hammer. Like I'd never heard anyone talk about that before. So I was so fascinated by it. I went and had my went and donated blood just to find out what my blood group was. And so I set myself on a journey. So up until that point, I had eaten all organic, and I had convinced myself that I would heal my gut by purely eating organic. But it didn't. I mean, it's still very good for you, but I still felt like I wasn't quite right. And so I felt like I had no energy. And then as I turned out, when I really investigated the food that I was meant to be eating for my AB positive, which is one of the rare ones, I was eating, half the food I was eating was on my poisons list.
Oh, wow.
So I just went, right, okay. So I sort of, I completely switched my food around, and it's sort of, I haven't looked back since, really. And the only time I really go off track is when I sort of get a bit lazy with my eating. And I sort of tend to go 80-20, 80% of the time I eat really, really well and eat the right things, and then I sort of let myself off the other 20% of the time. But the last couple of years, I think I've just sort of let it get down. The percentage has dropped, and so this is me sort of retuning my body at the moment. So when I say health is your wealth, I mean everything in life cannot be enjoyed unless it comes from a place of health. I mean, you could be the richest, most famous person in the world, but if you haven't got your health, then it's sort of hollow, isn't it? It's hard to enjoy.
Absolutely.
So I think getting to the core of a problem with your health and starting in the gut, once you heal your gut and you become stronger within yourself and everything runs from a place of health, every decision that you make in your entire life comes from that point of attraction. And so that's what I choose. That's my universal point of attraction, is that place of health. And I think you just cannot bring anything but wonder and glory into your life when you're coming from that position. So I choose my health above everything, even above my own kids, everything. I'll always choose my own health because I think, well, I have to give myself oxygen first.
Exactly.
Because otherwise I'm completely useless to anybody else and I'll collapse in the aisle. We don't want that.
Right. No, that's a beautiful way to put it.
Yeah. Well, I used to be a flight attendant, so I always use that as my flight attendant analogy.
Yeah. But it's a great analogy. Everybody gets that. Everybody gets it.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's really vital. I mean, I don't think people sort of go, oh, yeah, but it will save your life if you choose yourself first. And it's not being selfish. It's sort of really just making yourself a priority and finding that happy medium between selfless and selfish, and then in the middle of that you find yourself.
Exactly.
Yes, it's a massive passion of mine to sort of stay on top of my own health and then help, hopefully educate other people as well. So that's the next stage for me, is to continue that path of education, not only for myself but for other people, anyone else that's interested. So, yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Oh, I'm happy for you. I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah. And the fact I get to do it with my brother is really very, very cool. You know, we're best buddies. So,
That's special.
Yeah, it is really special.
You know, there's so much misinformation out there about health as well. So,
yes.
You know, when people hear an authentic message or something that resonates and speaks to them, it gives them that sort of motivation and drive to take charge of their own health. Because really, you're really, truly the only advocate you have.
Yes. And yes.
Very important.
Happiness is an inside job, as I keep saying. Apply to them. It's absolutely, I agree totally.
So the title of the show, of course, is The Divine Breadcrumb, which we define as some sort of pivotal experience in your life. Some people like to call them coincidences. Carol and I don't really believe in coincidence. What is something that was a big divine breadcrumb for you that sort of changed the direction of your life or had a big effect on you?
Well, when I first read that your podcast was called The Divine Breadcrumb, it really sort of really sat with me really well. And I sort of got it straight away. And I went, oh, okay, that's I think it'd be very interesting ladies to talk to. my kind of people, because that's exactly what I thought. It's the universe does leave breadcrumbs for us to follow. And it's, I think one of the big things for me in regard to that subject is that I truly believe that there are signs and signals all around us. Or if you're talking about swans, it'd be the signs and signets.
I love that.
And so it's whether you are walking around with your eyes open or closed, whether you actually see them or not. And as you raise your vibration and your frequency and your awareness, those signs change, and then that becomes a new thing that you see. So I think you see what you give attention to. So your divine breadcrumb could be very different than someone else's. So that's why different information means different things to different people. I think there's no set rule when it comes to that law. It's what you deem important. So I'm very attached to the number 666, A, because I'm just a little devil, and also because my birth date has three sixes in it. So I've had a strong numerological connection with that number for a long time. I have it on my car. It's on my number plate. I purposely had it put on there. And the reactions I get from people are quite interesting.
I'm sure.
Yeah. But, of course, everything has two sides, don't they? Every coin has two sides. So it is all in the eye of the beholder. So the divine breadcrumb for me is that when I see other cars with 666, I sort of notice them. And then if I see more than one, I go, oh, there's another one. And then if I see three or four or five of them, I just go, okay, well, there's a strong message there for me today.
We get a lot of our messages from the license plates as well. And we're both into numerology. I think for me, 222 was always big because that was my birth date. And then for Deb and I, 11 has always been a big one. We actually launched the Divine Breadcrumb on 11/11.
Of course you did.
Of course we did. Yeah. But it's always fun because my number for my dad is 33 or multiple threes. So I can't even tell you how many times Deb and I have been on vacation or going somewhere and we're like, oh my God, he's around us. Because there was one time, I think we saw like seven cars in a row that had multiple threes. I think we were going to something in Boston, and as we're coming out of the parking garage, then there was one license plate with double, and we were like, double threes, you know, just four threes across. It's just crazy, but it makes you happy.
I love that. And it's so much fun. It adds fun into something that other people just go, What are you going on about? Seriously.
I think it's a blast, and I think it's really comforting. So as we kind of wrap up, what else would you like our listeners to know, whether it's about the book, your the coaching program you and Ash are going to be working on?
Look, I think I've covered everything, really. The book has been a massive shift for me. Mm. It's like, I don't know if you've seen any of my posts when I talk about writing your own script. I think that we all have the power, and we all have a book inside us. Mm-hmm. And I've just been lucky enough that I've sort of found the inner drive to push myself to the point that I've actually produced it and manifested it. And everything in life is either manifested or unmanifested. So just because you can't see, touch, taste, smell, I know that you can relate to that, doesn't mean that it's not there. So now I have a very strong understanding that when there's something sitting up there, you know, in the holding pattern, you just have to say yes to it, and then it comes in and zooms in. You just got to give it a landing pad. And I think that that's what I did with the book. And because it was such an organic process for me, it was so much fun and so enjoyable. There was not even a moment of hard work or stress or anything. And because I never planned to actually do it, it was such a lovely, lovely process and to see it in its final form. And I have produced my other half. And I have been single for a very long time, and by choice, because I'm sort of at that point now that having a partnership is just not important to me. So the whole point about producing a book that feels like my other half is a huge thing for me, because I think a lot of the things that have happened to me in my life have been the partnerships that I've had and chosen. And so I feel like that if there was just another person to come into my life, I think it would be the human version of my book. And how cool would that be?
Yeah. No, I can definitely relate to all of that. I've been single for a very long time by choice too. And it's just, it, and every, it's so funny whenever I, you know, see other friends or family that haven't seen me in a while, I can see it in their eyes, like, really, she's still alone. And they have that kind of sad look. It's like, I'm fine.
My greatest challenge, and you would be able to relate to this too after revealing that piece of information, is that my challenge would be to actually step into a relationship. I actually thrive on my own.
Yes.
I'm so incredibly independent and feisty and like doing my own thing. And I am like a cat. I don't like being trapped. I like to have it a scrape.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Freedom is very important to me. Yes. So I can't say that it'll never happen. And I hope someday that it happens. But, yes, I don't know. It's hard to imagine.
It's one of those things that I'm not attached to it anymore, is that it's not important to me. What's important to me is the work that I do on myself.
Yes.
And to... The number one, people say, what's your goal, Georgina? And I go, to feel joy every minute of the day. That's my only goal. And I feel that now. Even when things aren't particularly good around me, and that doesn't happen very often, I still can find joy and I still feel happy and I still feel positive. So I know that the work that I've done on myself has been worth every single piece of pain. I've managed to turn my pain into power and you know, find that inner superhero, as I like to call it. And that's the only thing that's important to me, and to be able to actually help my children do the same is to lead by example. And they go, geez, Mum's just a strong woman. Isn't that great? And my son often says, Mum, I'm sucking at English. And I go, so did I, son, but look, I've written a book.
Yeah.
I really sucked at English. I was shocking at it. And I am quite dyslexic as well. So, you know, it's a miracle that it even happened. So my point of attraction now is to whatever it is that I think that I would like to bring in another person, I have to be that first. So that's the most important thing. I have to be everything and see it and feel it before it happens, because otherwise why would you bother?
Right.
You know, it's just a waste of your energy being with somebody that's not the right person. So I'm done with that. And it really wouldn't worry me if I was on my own for the rest of my life. But if I did bring in that person that was a reflection of my own inner power, I mean, you know, cool. Can't wait for that to happen. But if it doesn't happen, doesn't matter. So, So it's been a hell of a ride.
Well, and on that note, I think that's a great way to close up the show. Georgina, it's been such a pleasure having you. It's always fun talking to people that are interested in the same topics.
Yes.
and have similar journeys. So thank you for sharing yours with us and our listeners. What we'll do is once the show comes out, we'll make sure we put all your contact information. But for now, if you could just tell people where they could find your book.
The best place to find my book is to, if you are connected to LinkedIn, is to direct message me, and then I can organise for a link to be sent to you. I do have a landing page that you can go into, and I can't read the link out because it's too long. Just to contact me directly. I mean, I'm happy to give any of my details to you to pass on to your listeners. I mean, you are on the other side of the world, so there is postage and handling involved.
Right.
But if people really, really want the book, and I'd be happy to sign it for them and to send it to them and go and pop it in the post myself. So it's all a very personalised thing that I would do for people. So, yeah, look, answering your question is just to probably get in touch with me personally through LinkedIn or even Facebook as well. I have a page on Facebook just under my name, Georgina Plaisted. So either of those places, I mean, that's global. Hopefully that makes it easier. And I'm happy to leave my details with you. So if anybody wants to contact you, that's another way as well.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
And we'll include your LinkedIn details and Facebook in our show notes.
Yep. Fantastic.
So, thank you so much, Georgina. It was such a pleasure to meet you and chat with you. And
Same. It's been really, really enjoyable. It's so nice to talk to people who are kindred spirits, because it's actually rare as hen's teeth, can I just tell you, girls?
Yeah.
It really is. So that's what I love about LinkedIn, is there's so many like-minded people on that platform. It blows me away.
Me too.
Seriously, how many people that I just go, wow, what have you been all my life?
Yes.
It's like book says you've got to find your tribe or find your flock or find your pod, or you've just got to find your peeps, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And find your community, and you know, and that's where you gain a lot of your strengths from. And so I think LinkedIn's been such a huge part of this journey for me. Very unexpectedly, I would never have imagined it in a million years on a business platform that you find the most spiritual people that I've ever come across.
I've said the same thing. Yeah, it was such a pleasant surprise.
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me on. I feel very honored to have been asked onto your show, and it's been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, thank you. It was our pleasure. And as always, you can catch the show on our website, thedivinebreadcrumb.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. If you like the show, please share it with your friends, give us a quick rating, or even a review if you feel so inclined. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.